even though we've been learning Hilchos Avelos for the last couple of weeks, the truth is we're really starting Hilchos Avelos now. So everything we've been looking up to now has been Hilchos Aninos, not Hilchos Avelos proper. Now we begin with technically what's called Hilchos Avelos. So the first sugya of Hilchos Avelos is who is supposed to be Mesaba? Who does the Chiyuv of Avelos take effect on? And really the background of the Shaila is much more fundamental than just the who's and what's, but it really gets to the very core of where Hilchos Avelos comes from, what the source, what the status in Halacha of Hilchos Avelos is all about. So the Gemara in Maseches Maakotah quotes a Braisa that makes the following equation. The Gemara comments on the Psukim in Parshas Emor that there are a whole series of different relatives that the Torah says that a Kohen is Metame for. Normally, of course, a Kohen is not permitted to come into contact with a dead body. The Torah says that there are a few exceptions to that rule. Etc. His father, mother, brother, sometimes sister, we'll talk about that a little bit later, a child, possibly a wife, we'll see exactly who's included in this list. But certain relatives are listed off in the Torah as who a Kohen is permitted to be Metame for. Not only permitted to be Metame for, but we Paskin is obligated to be Metame for. There's a mitzvah sasem in the Torah for a Kohen to actually become Tame to his relatives. So Gemara says that anyone who the Kohen is Metame for, those are the same relatives who a person is Mesabel for. Those are the same relatives who a person observes the Dinim of Avelus for. And the Gemara goes on to list who exactly they are. So the question is, how do we understand this equation of the Gemara? What's pshat in this equation that whoever's on list A is automatically on list B? Father, mother, or brother, sister, etc. So there's a major machlekes that we've shown him how to understand this braisa, which really gets to the core, gets to the very heart of Hilchos Avelos. What is the question about? Where exactly Avelos comes from? So what is the source for this whole concept of Avelos? So the truth is that if we're really learning Hilchos Avelos properly, we really should have had this as the first shiur. This should have been the shiur psicha, to the whole sugya of Avelos. Where does Avelos come from? The basic fundamental question in the Rishonim is Avelos a mitzvah min HaTorah, or is Avelos a mitzvah min DeRabbanan? What's the source for Avelos? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avelos, quotes an opinion that was already well-developed before the Rambam's days. It was read in the sheet of the Rif, and it was the sheet of the Gaonim, who basically were of the opinion that Avelos is a din min HaTorah. There is a concept of Avelos min da'araisa. We'll see exactly how much and where, when, and where, how, but there is a concept of Avelos min da'araisa according to the opinion of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Gaonim. This is in contrast to the view of the Balei HaTosfos and the view of the Rosh, and basically became the view of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that Avelos does not exist in the Torah. There's no such thing. The Torah never speaks about sitting Shiva and Avelos and Shalom. The whole thing is only Midrabbanan. There never was such an entity called Avelos. Why should one say it's the Raisa? Why should one say that's the Rabbanan? So the Gemara has a Lashon that Moshe Tikalem Yisrael Shivisim Avelos, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin for Klal Yisrael the 7 days of Avelos. So that Lashon is a little bit misleading. That Lashon sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin something, that does not mean it's Minat Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to do something, that's Minat Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael about Shabbos, tell him about putting on tefillah, tell him about kash, tell him about eating matzah and Pesach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael something, that's a din Minat Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu on his own, as the Koach of the Sanhedrin, as the Beis Din HaGadol of his days, decides that let's ourselves make a formal takana, let's make an official takana such as let's lay in Kriya Satara or other takanas that the Gemara attributes to Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though those takanas are very, very old, they go back over 3,000 years, but they're still midrabbanan. Since they weren't instituted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they weren't given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe as Dinim De'araisa, they were instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu as any other base that would institute things, so they're only midrabbanan. So when the Gemara uses the Lashon, the Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shivisimei Avelos, it sounds like it's only midrabbanan. The Lashon of Takona is very much a Lashon derabbanan. So that's what the Rabbi Natav, the Rosh say. If the Gemara uses the Lashon of Tikalim Yisrael, then it's only midrabbanan. The whole Avelos, Shiva, the whole Hakal Mikakal, the whole story is only midrabbanan. And the Rif and the Ram and the Gaonim disagree. They say that no. The Moshe Tikalim Yisrael Shivisimei Avelos. The emphasis is on the number 7, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Misaken, the 7 days of Avelos. That means that the whole picture of Avelos that we're familiar with today, sitting Shiva for a whole week of 7, that's Tachlan Midirabbanan. But the basic mitzvah, the basic tzura, the basic format of what an Avel is not permitted to do for X amount of days, that's really a Midaraisa. How long is that X Midaraisa? Yomechon. There's Avelos Yomechon Midaraisa. The one day itself, the day the person just died, so that's considered to be a real Avelos, even on a level of Deraisa. So Moshe Tikalim Yisrael, so the emphasis is on the word Shivas Yomei Avelos, not Moshe Tikalim Yisrael. The emphasis is on Shivas Yomei Avelos, that's only Midirabbanan. You have a parallel question When it comes to the other Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the same breath, the Gemara says that Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael, Shiva Simei HaMishta, the Moshe Rabbeinu was Masakein, the celebration, the week of Sheva Brachas. So many of the Rishonim say that the whole institution of Sheva Brachas is only Midder Rabban. Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael, there's no such thing as Simchas Chosav HaKala Midder Raisa. And other Rishonim say no. The Rosh, in the beginning of Masechus Ksubos, quotes from his Rebbe, from the Maamar Ruthenberg, that just as you have by Avelos, there's a difference, according to some Rishonim, between the first day and the subsequent days, so too by Simchas Chosav HaKal, there's a difference between the first day and the subsequent days, that means Medarai, so there is a din of Simchas Chosav, only on that day. It's called B'yom Chasunos, the day of the Chas, the day of the Chup itself, there's a mitzvah Derai of Simchas Yom, Simchas Chosav, whatever you want to call it, and then the subsequent days, is only Midr Rabban, and that's the Takon of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have a parallel, Machlaik Yisra Rishaynim, because the Gemara uses the same Lashon. Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael Shuvu Simei HaVeilus, and Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael Shuvu Simei HaMishta. So half the Rishaynim say, the whole thing is the Rabban. HaVeilus is the Rabban, Shuvu Simei HaMishta is the Rabban, everything is the Rabban, and Tikkun L'Yisrael. And the other half the Rishaynim say, I don't know if the numbers break down exactly, but other groups of Rishaynim say, they know that Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael Shuvu Simei HaVeilus, Shuvu Simei HaMishta, but the Etzem celebration, or the Etzem day of mourning for HaVeilus, those first day, Yom Rishon, is in fact the Din Minat Torah.
If you back into the Shemunei Mishnah, even after the Gemara, isn't the place of Gemara with talks about that even people sitting and learning go Mechave, the Chasm Kala, they meet learning. So learning is the rice and they go Mesamei Chasm Kala.
Right.
So wouldn't that be like a proof for everybody that, you know, to leave one derisa, go to another derisa would be...
So not necessarily. So the fact that I have to go dance at chasna, that's a mitzvah derisa, that's a mitzvah gemilas chasadim. So that's v'haf to lerecha kamochen. Rambam writes in Chasavel that v'haf to lerecha kamochen includes all acts of chesed. So when I go dance at the chasana, I'm being goyimul chesed. The fact that the person wants me to come and dance at his chasana, that's for sure a mitzvah derais, and I'm participating in it. Whether he's mechuyav as a gavrin, simchas, a chasan, so that's a question, whether that's a real bona fide chiyav derais. So that's not necessarily an ironclad proof either way.
This is just a general question, too. I mean, I don't mean to say it in a chutzpah to go in like this, but I mean, what business does Moshe have improving on God's Torah and instituting mitzvah through Rabban? I understand in the future, where people are mixing milk and meat, the Rabban come around and say, wait a minute, we got to draw the line somewhere. But, I mean, we got God giving Moshe orders here. Where does Moshe come off saying, well...
Very good, excellent question. Very good. That's an excellent question. I mean, what koch do you ever have to make any takana sacham? How can we have there is Chanukah, Kriyas, and Megillah? Any dinim derabban?
Especially if the generation is speaking.
Okay. So there's a Rashba about that. There's a Tais about that. Right. So Rishonim already derabban about that. They're ready. Rishonim talking about takasha. Why isn't that considered to be like a violation of Al Tosef? It's very good. It's not a chos takasha. It's a very good kasha. So the Rambam and Torah talks about it. Basically, what it basically boils down to, at least according to some Rishonim, is that when the Torah says Al Tosef that you're not allowed to add on to mitzvah Satorah, that means as an individual, you're not allowed to add on. But when the Beis and HaGadol sees that there's an important tzarech, this is a nice thing, this is a good thing, to have a concept called Simchas Chasav HaKala. I think it's built on what Henry said, that the Torah does recognize the fact that the Chasav and Kala are in the state of joy, and people are coming to participate in the Simcha. So for the Chasav and the Kala, just stop not to be in a state of Simcha, that's something that even the Torah would want. It's not a chiyuv. The idea that a Chasav and Kala is supposed to be happy, they got married, it's a happy, joyous occasion, that's a din min haTorah. The Torah says, "V'sima chesishta shalokach." That a chosen doesn't go out to war for a year. He's supposed to be misameach his wife. So the Torah recognizes that. Whether it translates to mean there's a formal mitzvah celebration to sit and have parties the whole week, so that was an added on mitzvah midrabbanan. But the notion that a chosen and a kala is supposed to mark their day of marriage and their week of marriage, their year of marriage with extra simcha, that the Torah itself says. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't stop making up a brand new din out of nowhere. He was extending a derais to a concept and putting a little bit more formality to it. So that's not really considered to be also.
The pasuk you just cited covers the mishnah part.
V'simach hasishto shalom. Yeah, but that doesn't have to do with Sheva Brachos. That has to do with the whole year.
Okay, what is the pasuk then?
That's talking about when you go out to war. So the chosen for the first year doesn't go out to war because he's supposed to stay home. And v'simach hasishto shalakach. He's supposed to be misamech his wife that he just took.
Right.
That doesn't mean that part is over.
What is the pasuk there? I thought maybe that was the part. What is the pasuk that you're referring to that does the first day of?
No, there is no pasuk. That's the problem. We're getting to the first, according to one group of the Rishonim, like there's no Avelus deraisa and there's no Simus Chas in deraisa. The whole thing is midrabanan. So we don't have to spend time looking for psukim. There are no psukim. So we can have shachris. But according to the other Rishonim, the Rif and the Ram, the Goinim, and those Rishonim who are saying that there's Simchas Chas in deraisa for one day, then you have to prove it. What's Mechel of a right? You have to prove a pasuk. So what's the source? Where's the pasuk? So we'll give the easier pasuk first. The pasuk for Simchas Chas Mekala, that's a simple one. So the Maharam Rutenberg is quoted by the Rosh saying, the makor for that idea that the first day of a chasana is a yom simcha midaraisa is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The yom chasunasa v'yom simchas libo. That the pasuk in Kisvei HaKodesh, pasuk in Nach, describes the day of a wedding as yom simchas libo. You see from here that the Torah wants us to be besimcha on the day of a chasunasa. That's already a very, very hard makor to defend. It's not exactly a pasuk in Chumash. Shir HaShirim is a beautiful Kodesh Kadosh, but it's not a pasuk in Chumash. So that's hard to understand that. Since we're not learning the halachas of chasana now, we're learning the Din of Avelus, so we're not going to spend too much time in that Mamar. Getting back to the Din of Avelus, what could possibly be the source for the dinim of Avelus to be a din deraisa? What could possibly be the source, not for the whole week of Avelus, but at least Yom Rishon to be deraisa? So here, if you look in the Rambam, the Rambam gives us different sources combined together, which may create this picture called Avelus Yom Rishon deraisa. So the Rambam quotes in the beginning of Hilchos Avel a series of psukim in Parsha Shmini. The Rambam refers to the story about the death of the sons of Aaron. After Nadav and Avihu died, so it came time for Aaron and the remaining two sons, Elazar and Isamar, to eat the karbanos. It was the Yom HaShemini Lemilu, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they would bring a whole series of different karbanos, and it was time for them to eat the karbanos, and lo and behold, one of the karbanos gets burnt. The soy, one of the seer, one of the goats, gets burnt. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets all upset. Why did the goat get burnt? Why did they burn it? Why didn't they eat it? They're supposed to eat the karbanos. So Aaron responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'chal kichat asayoy me'ita b'nei Hashem. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really want me to eat this carbon today? After what just happened, he just experienced the death of his two sons. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo would want of him, to be partake to eat of carbonos today. What kind of response is that of Aaron? So the Gemara Maseches Zevachim fills in the gap. The Gemara explains that what Aaron is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a din in the Torah that an onein is not allowed to eat carbonos. That was already a given. It says in Pashas Kisavo, even though Pashas Kisavo appears in the Chumash later, but it was all given to Sinai, so there was already a din deraisa. Everybody knew already there was a halacha called lo achalti ba'oini mimenu, that an oinein, a person whose relatives died, is not permitted to eat ma'aseh sheni, and if he's not allowed to eat ma'aseh sheni, which is a much lower level of simcha, much lower level of kedusha, kavachemi is not allowed to eat kach, he's not allowed to eat karbonos. So Aaron turns to Moshe and says, In the dinim of kachim you gave me, you came to Mar Sinai, you told me the dinim of kachim, and you told me that an oin is not allowed to eat. So what do you want from me? But how would the Rebbeinu Shlom want me to eat karbonos now in the state of aninus? So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's having? So why was Moshe upset? So the Gemara in Zemachim explains that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that din didn't apply on the day of Yom HaShmini. Why? Because Yom HaShmini was a Hara Ashah. Yom HaShmini was a special day. Vayibah Yom HaShmini, they were bringing karbanas, which were special, unique karbanas. The Nasi of Shevi Yehuda, Nachsha bin Abinadab was bringing karbanas. There were special karbanas that were brought for the Chanukah, for the Yom HaShmini Lemiluim altogether. This was a special halacha. So that din, that you don't eat karbanas in the state of Aninus, that din only applied when you bring a normal karban. When you're being a special, unique carbon of a Rasha, of a once in a history of the world kind of a carbon, so then the halacha is that type of a carbon is eaten even in the state of Aninus. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned around to Aaron and he says, I know what I taught you. I gave you the name. I taught you that an Aninus now that'll eat carbonus, but this is an exception to the rule. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already said, Moshe Rabbeinu already had the word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were supposed to eat the karbanos, those special karbanos. So Aaron was not deterred by that argument. Aaron turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, no, those karbanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to eat, even though I'm an onein, those were referring to the Harashah karbanos. Those were referring to the special karbanos that were brought uniquely for this day. But the korban that got burnt was a sar Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was a regular, plain old korban that we'd bring in any other Rosh Chodesh. It happened to be that today was the Shmini Lemiluim, so there were special korbanos that were being brought. But the korban in question, the korban of grams here, was a korban Ladeiris. It was a regular korban of a korban Rosh Chodesh. So Aaron turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, "You want me to eat that korban?" That korban is bound by the regular limitations that an oinin is not permitted to eat. So that was the pilp between Moshe and Aaron. So everybody agrees that an oinin is not allowed to eat karbonos. And everybody agrees that the special karbonos of that day, an oinin is permitted to eat. The machloikis, so to speak, between Moshe and Aaron was, those karbonos that were brought on that special day, but were not special karbonos, they were regular, plain, and simple karbonos, like the korban of Rosh Chodesh. Is it right to eat? Are you allowed to eat that korban of the state of Aninus, or are you not allowed to eat that korban of the state of Aninus? That was in the Kudus HaMachlokes. That's the, if you put on the board, that was the first major machlokes in Reish and Aaron. And who won the machlokes? Aaron was right. Vayishma Moshe v'ita b'enav. Pasuk says that Moshe realized that Aaron's lumbus was more correct. That het for an oinin to eat karbonos was limited only to the karbonos of the special karbonos ayom. They didn't apply to the regular karbonos of the sar Rosh Chodesh. So when all the dust settles, the din is that an oinin is not permitted to eat karbonos. Even that particular karbon of Rosh Chodesh tak was also included. So when the Torah formulates that iser for an oinin to eat karbonos, so the Torah quotes the words of Aaron HaKohen, "Yachalti chatas hayom hayita b'nei Hashem." That's the way Aaron responds to Moshe. So the Gemara Maseches Zevachim comments on Nafkuf that from the fact that the Torah records the conversation, so the Torah is recording the correct halachic conversation, "Yachalti chatas hayom." Hayom means that today he's not allowed to eat. The implication is that tomorrow he could eat. Or perhaps the implication is tonight he could eat. Today he's not allowed to eat karbonos. So says the Gemara in Zvachim, you see from here that an oinin is not permitted to eat karbonos on the day of aninus itself. That's an issur d'oraisa to eat karbonos on the day that he's an oinin. Not tomorrow. That day that he's an oinin. He's not allowed to eat karbonos. What does the word oinin mean in that context? So this goes back to the first shiur that we gave. Here's where the lashon that we use to describe aninus becomes a little bit misleading. When we hear, we see the word onein, so we immediately conjure up the image of Misha Mason with the lefanov. We think of the guy who the burial hasn't taken place yet. So that is not correct in the context of karbonos. The word onein in karbonos means the first day. It means the day of Misa Kvura. The relative died, was buried. That whole day, even though the burial happened at 8 o'clock in the morning, that duration of that day, that's called the Yom Haninus. That's called the Yom Misa Kvura. That's called the Yom Rishon. So comes the Torah and says, we'll call now the Abel Yom Rishon, the first day of Avelis, the Einein, not the Misha Beis Bidlefon, the Einein of Avelis Yom Rishon, is not permitted min HaTorah to eat karbonos, for that matter, not permitted min HaTorah to eat Maisa Sheni. So there are certain Yisurim D'Oraisa that take effect for the Einein, for the Abel Yom Rishon.
So a real Einein, that would be much of a karbonos?
No, I didn't say that either. I said that.
Not necessarily, right.
So comes the Rambam, the first Rambam Luchos Avelos, and writes that just as there's a concept midaraisa that an Ovel Yom Rishon / halachic onin in Kachim is not permitted to be involved in certain activities of simcha. What are the deraisidic activities of simcha? Eating karbonos is a davashal simcha. Eating maisashen is a machat mechotoyv. Those are things which are usually associated with simcha. So comes the Torah and says the Ovel Yom Rishon is not permitted to do those kinds of activities. So comes the Rambam and says, and therefore the Ovel Yom Rishon is not permitted to be in the state of simcha. That's what the Torah is telling us. V'chalti chatas hayom, and Ovel Yom Rishon is not permitted to be b'simcha. What constitutes b'simcha? Kodshim, b'sisheni, etc. And then the Rambam says there's a whole other list of things that also would contradict the status of being an Ovel Yom Rishon. What are those other things? So the Rambam says, Ayin, the Gemara is the Maseches Mekotan, where the Gemara quotes Pesukim from Nevi'im, from Yecheskel, from Shmuel, from other Nevi'im, which describe different Nihugim, different practices that a person who's an Avelus usually is associated with. These are not Pesukim in Chumash, these are Pesukim in Nevi'im, which describe that when this person, David HaMelech, was an Avelus, so he didn't have a Tashmish Shemitah. When this person was an Avelus, he didn't wash himself. Yenim was an Avelus, he didn't give Shalom Aleichem, he didn't learn Torah. Yecheskel, Shmuel, from David, from Yenim, everyone who's an Avelus isn't doing actions X, Y, and Z. What we usually call the Isurim of Avelus, the Isurim of Shiva. So the Rambam writes that those Psukim are referring to a Din D'Oraisa, namely those Nihugim that would contradict the status of Avelus on a level of D'Oraisa. How long do those nihugim apply for? For one day. What the Rambam basically did was he bridged the dinim of kachim, the sugyas and zvachim, the psukim and pashashmini, to what we call today, Maseches Mekar, we call today Yoredei Hilchos Avelus. The Rambam understood that all the things that we associate with the novel not doing are Isur Midaraisa. The Psukim and Navi are just quoted as expressions, as descriptions of different activities that are considered to be contradictory to the state of mind that the Ovel is supposed to be in. So not only Kachim are off limits, not only Maaseh Sheni is off limits, but taking a shower is off limits, and learning Torah is off limits, and wearing shoes is off limits. All those things which are contradictory to the state of Avelos, those are considered to be Dinim Midaraisa. Not for the whole week. Moshe tikkun mitzvah shiva simen mishlia, but bechal pichat to say yoyim for yoyim rishon. Those are dinim midaraisa. That's how the Rambam formulates hilchos avelus, the very first Rambam hilchos avel. So the answer to the question we started out with is avelus deraisa, is avelus derabanan. According to the Rambam, the answer is both. On the yom rishon it's deraisa, with bechol tokef, with everything that applies. Where did it come from? There's no pasuk in chumash. There is a pasuk in chumash. The pasuk in chumash is bechal pichat to say yoyim. That's the makor. Since the same way that the avel can't eat kachim, can't eat maaseh sheni, he can't take a shower, can't put on shoes, can't have tashramita, can't give shalom, can't learn, whatever. All these surim that we associate with Hilchos Avelus. This is the Shita Sir Rambam. But then the Rambam goes one step further. Then the Rambam asks the question, not in the Mishnah Torah, but in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam says, but who does this did apply to? Who's considered to be included in this parish of Avelus? So the only model that we have in the Torah is the death of a person's children. That's the only case of Hilchos Avelus that speaks to us in the Chumash itself. So the Rambam then goes and finds another series of psukim. The Rambam says, well, by the way, there's a din that a kohen is supposed to be metame for his mace. That's a din deraisa, lo yitama, that a kohen is mechuyev min haTorah, is permitted in mechuyev min haTorah to be metame for his parents, for his child, for his sibling, etc. What kind of aloch is that, says the Rambam? What kind of din is that, that a kohen is supposed to be metame? What does he have to be metame for? What's the big deal? What does he have to be metame? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel also that the reason why the Torah tells the kohen that he has to be metame, he's allowed to be, he has to be metame, this is to impress upon him how serious it is, kama chamura mitzvah avelus, how serious you have to take avelus. Avelus means that a relative dies, it's not business as usual. You're not allowed to say, oh, big deal. Okay, his relative died, big deal. You know, I'm busy in the Beis HaMikdash, leave me alone. I'm eating truma, don't bother me. No. The Torah doesn't want the person to do that. The Torah says, kama chamura mitzvah avelus, you kohen who would normally never dream of going to a funeral or going to a cemetery, you gotta go. So you gotta leave the Beis HaMikdash and go take care of the dead body. Go be mitami yourself. Go to the cemetery. Go give a hesped. Go take care of the kavod ha'meis. You're mechuyev to do that because the Torah wants to impress upon us kama chamura mitzvah avelus. So the Rambam in Mishnah Torah a little bit and then more in Sefer Mitzvahs writes that you see that this mitzvah of Tumas Kohanim is not just a mitzvah b'fnei hasman. It's not a mitzvah in the middle of nowhere. The mitzvah of Tumas Kohanim is an expression, is a chizuk, it's to strengthen in our minds the nature of the mitzvah of Hilchos Avelus. And this is all part of the Rambam's theory that it's all deraisa. So according to the Rambam, there are really two different parts, two different sources, two different makaris for Avelus deraisa. There's the Psukim in Pasha Shemini of Echal Tichat Esayom, and then there's the Psukim in Pasha Zemar, which are the Heter, or the Chi of the Mitzvah, for Tumas Kohanim. The Rambam says it's a package deal, combination. These two Psukim impress upon us, they give us the whole picture of what the Torah expects us to do, expects a person to do in the state of Avelus. So now, according to the Rambam, the Gemara Ma'akot and Rizek HaCharm, the Gemara says that who you're supposed to be Mesabel for, which relatives does the Torah expect you to do Avelus for. So based on Pasha Shemini, you can't really tell. You just see one, just see children, don't see anybody else. So that's when the Rambam, the Gemara and Ma'akot, and the Rambam says, Ayin Shal, Ayin, the Psukim of Pasha's Emor, where the Torah fills in the gap, fills in the picture, and says, here are the following people you're supposed to be mitame for, which is tantamount to saying that these are the following people you're supposed to be misabel for. Because according to the Rambam, it's one picture. According to the Rambam, the mitzvahs to Miskonim, the mitzvahs of Avelus are one and the same. So you have to be mitame for X, Y, and Z. So the equation, the equal sign says, therefore you have to be misabel for A, B, and C as well. Whether you're a kohen, not a kohen, doesn't matter. The din of Tumas Kohanim was given to the Kohanim, and then you extend that to the din of Avelus, even for Yisraelim as well. So when all the dust settles, according to the Rambam, Avelus is deraisa, first day. Not more than that, because v'chal tichat nesayim. And who is Avelus for deraisa? Those relatives all the way back in Pasha Zemor. So according to the Rambam, it's a combination of Pasha Shemini and Pasha Zemor that join together, combine together, to give us Hilchos Avelus that we know today on a deraisidika level for one day, and then midirabad mashitika Yisrael for the duration of the week. That's the Rif, the Rambam, the Goyim, and that's one whole position, one whole approach to Hilchos Avelus. However, it's a nice Torah, but we have to be intellectually honest that many Rishonim didn't know what we're talking. Wouldn't have known what we're talking about. The Rosh, Maseches Brachos, quotes from the Baal Yetzes, from the Ri and the Baal Yetzes, who say, "Lo shamado davazem le'yalim." Never heard of such a thing. There's no avelos derais. That whole thing doesn't make any sense. There's no such mitzvah bechlal. There's a din that an einin is not allowed to eat kachim. What's up with avelos? It's a din nuchas karbonos. A person who's a tamei also can eat karbonos. A person who's an oral also can eat karbonos. A lot of people can't eat karbonos. What does that have to do with a ovel, taking off his shoes and not giving shavu lechem and not washing? What is the connection at all? The Rambam made a whole shir klali, a whole shir kotar out of the connection between not eating kachim and not doing other activities associated with anti-avelos, associated with simcha. The Baal Yetzes and the Rosh say, "Lo yudvam le'ayim." Ones that did in Karbonis, in Kachim, is Vachem Dachkuf. Ones that did in Parsha Shmini. And we're talking about Yeredei Chalagimu. We're talking about what a person who lost a relative cannot do. What does that have to do with anything? The dinim of Kachim have no bearing whatsoever on the dinim of Avelis. What about the dinim of Tumas Kohanim? Doesn't the Torah say that a Kohen is supposed to be Mitami himself? So says the Rosh. What does that have to do with anything either? So that's a mitzvah. The Torah says that to take care of the tzarech yaneis, you're supposed to be mitami yourself. The Torah doesn't say after the kfur is over to sit on the floor. The Torah doesn't say to take off your shoes. The Torah doesn't say to not take a shower. There's a mitzvah of tumas kohanim. The Torah wants that a person should go and be mitapa with his mace. What does that have to do with anything? With hilchas aveilus, hilchas aveilus l'chud, and hilchas kfur l'chud, hilchas tumah l'chud. So according to this view in the Rishonim, when the Gemara says, Moshe Tikelem Yisrael, so the emphasis is not on the Shivas part, the emphasis is on the Tikim part. It means the whole thing, HaKamikah Kol, is only Midir Rabbanah. According to this view, that Avelus is only Midir Rabbanah, there is no Avelus Deraisa. So when the Gemara says in the Raisa Moikotun that we pattern Hilchas Avelus after Hilchas Tumas Kohanim, the Gemara did not mean the ironclad equation of the Rambam, that it's a deraisa, and these are the krovim that the Torah delineates, so you have to be misabel for, the same ones you have to be mitami for. According to the Ri, the Taiz and the Rosh, the Gemara meant a totally different story. The Gemara meant, midirabbanon, the Chachamim instituted Hilchas Avelus. That was a pure Tekhanas Chachamim made up out of nowhere. But Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, me and my Beis Din are hereby going to institute the Dinim of Shivasim Avelus. Who are we going to institute Shivasim Avelus for? So we think it's a good idea that relatives, Kravim, should be misabel. That would be the proper covenant of Mace. Relatives should be misabel. Who's called a relative? A third cousin's a relative. The eighth generation is called a relative. Who's called a relative? A grandson, a grandchild? Who's called a relative? So this Takonas Acham, that relative should be misabel, that's the proper expression of covenant of Mace. For relatives, for Kravim to be misabel. So we have a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanik Ein Deraisa Tikkun. Whenever the Chachamim make a Takona, so they always look to the Chumash to pattern the Takona after a pre-existing Din Midaraisa. So we're looking for a model deraisa. We're looking for an example for a din deraisa where the Torah delineates who is considered to be kreiv, who is considered to be a relative midaraisa. So let's look, all of a sudden we'll press the button, we'll look through the Chumash to see where does the Torah speak about relatives. There are a lot of parshas about relatives. There are parshas of Arayah speak about relatives. So should we make a takona that a person has to be misabel for his aunt? An aunt is a relative, Sheher Besoro. Yeah, that's not really the right parsha. The more correct parsha is parsha's Emor, where the Torah says, "Kim l'sheira hakorovei lov lima liyaviv l'vavid liyachiv l'chosam sula." The following relatives are considered to be close enough that the Torah felt it necessary for the Kohan to mitami for. That's a good model. It has to do with inyanei misa covenant. That makes sense in this context. To make a takana that, let's say we're going to follow the relatives of Yibum, that you have to be misabel for only for your brother. That's not a good model. The more correct model, but the Rabbanon that we should emulate is the model of Tumas Karevim. So when the Gemara says in Maseches Meikotin that the Chamim say that you have to be misabel for the following relatives, Ayin Shom Pasha Zemor, the Gemara never meant to say like the Rambam that it's a din derais of Avelos and it follows the pattern exactly of Pasha Zemor. All the Gemara meant to say is that the din midirabbanon of Avelos was instituted ke'ein the din deraisa of Hilchos Tumas Kohanim. So that connection between the two is not quite as ironclad as it was according to the Rambam. But l'maisa, when all the dust settles, the din remains the same. That either midiraisa, midirabbanon, these are the relatives. La'aviv, l'ima, l'mav, l'achiv, etc. Those are the official relatives that the Torah or the Rabbanon spell out. Then the Gemara just adds a little bit of a nuance at the end of the sugya. The Gemara says there are certain relatives that don't quite make the mark in the list of Tumas Kohanim, and still one is required to be misalbel for Hosifu Olim the following relatives. So let's say, for example, you have somebody who's a half sibling or something. So if you have a half brother from the mother, maybe that's not considered to be a full fledged relative. You have other relatives that don't quite make them a half sister, half brother. We'll talk about the marriage, so we'll talk about that as we go on. But there are certain relatives that are not quite perfect in the list. For some technical reason, they added a list in Parashas Emor. So the Gemara says, Hosifu Aleihem, these relatives as well. So according to Tosfos, the whole list is Derabanan anyway. It's the whole list only by Tumas Kohanim is Deraisa, but by Avelis is only Derabanan. So by Derabanan, they added on a few others, even though they're not quite exactly the same as Parashas Emor. According to the Rambam, whenever the Gemara uses the phrase Hosifu Aleihem, they added on certain relatives, what the Gemara means to say is that those relatives are taka only midirabbanan. That means midiraisa, there's no avelus unless you're on the official list of the six or seven relatives. We'll see how many are on the list deraisa. But according to Tosfos, Hosifu Aleihem doesn't mean all that much. According to the Rambam, Hosifu Aleihem means a lot. It means the following are deraisa, but the following only midirabbanan. So who is officially on that list? So it seems pretty befarish in the Chumash. Ki yim l'sheira karov ilav li'imo uli aviv. Livno, Ulevito, Uliachiv. I stopped at that point. Those five are the simple ones. Okay, those child, son, daughter. Those are the easy ones. So then the Torah gets a little bit more complicated. It speaks about the Achosu HaBesula. So before we get to the Achosu HaBesula, there's one relative who's not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash, and that of course is a wife or a husband, a spouse. What then? Does that mean it doesn't exist? Again, we're looking back to Parshas Tumas Kohanim to try to figure out that's going to impact upon Avelus, the Deraisa, the Rabbanan. How come a wife is not on the list? So that's big machlokes have shown him what the status of a wife is. So the Pasuk does say, Kiyim l'sheiro ha-korv elov. So there's a machlokes have shown him based on Sugars and Megumar, how to reap Shah in that Pasuk, Taich in that Pasuk. Kiyim l'sheiro ha-korv elov. So a Kohen is not allowed to become Tameh except for Kiyim l'sheiro ha-korv elov, l'yimo l'aviv da-da-da-da. How do you translate that Pasuk? So comes the Rambam and says the correct translation of that pasuk is as follows. Kiyim l'sheira korv elav. You are, the Kohen is permitted and required to become Tameh for Sheira, for his very close relatives. Korv elav. Who are they? Here's the list. The following are on the list. According to the Rambam, Sheira is not a new category, it's not a new example of a relative. Sheira is just the heading, it's just is the introduction to the following five, six, whatever number of relatives that there are. There is no other relative mentioned in that word She'era, according to the Rambam. Therefore, according to the Rambam, you open up Parshas Emor, you read the list, a wife is not there. And the Rambam says, and there's good reason why the wife is not there. Because she doesn't exist. Because there's no din. There is no din of Tumas Kohanim. You're not allowed to be metamic for your wife, based on the Pesukim in Parshas Emor. So the Rambam refers to the Gemaras in Maseches Yevamos that say explicitly that everybody knows that a husband is batami for his wife. Who knows? Well, if a Kohen's wife dies, so the Kohen goes to the Levaya. So what do you mean the Kohen is not batami? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that he understood the Gemara to mean this, that when the Kohen goes to the Levaya for his wife, it's not Bitaris Tumas Krovim. It's not Parshas Emor. It's Parshas Emor, a different part of Parshas Emor. It's like the status of a Meis Mitzvah. The din is, if a Kohen is walking on the road and he sees a dead body, so he's b'chuyif to take care of that dead body, even though it's not his relative. That's a din of Meis Mitzvah. That's even a Kohen Gadol, even a Nazir. No matter what, you always have to take care of the dead body of the Meis Mitzvah. So the Rambam says, quoting what some Rishonim said, the Rambam misquoted, but the Rambam quotes the Gemara Masechet Yevamos that says that if a person's wife just died, imagine the Kohen's going to say, listen, I opened the Parshas Emor, my wife's name's not on the list. I'm busy eating chuma, going to the basement. Leave me alone. Everyone's going to look at him. The husband's not taking care of his wife, and he wants us to take care of her. No one's going to take care of her. So she's going to be Mutalos Bevizayim. She's going to be like a Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, the Chachamim Akeveya, that a wife is always a Chashash, always a potential Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, the Kohen has to be Metapa with his wife, not the terrorist relative. She's not a relative. She's not a Karvish. A Karv, according to the Rambam, is a blood relative. She's very close to him, but not biologically close to him. And therefore, the Rambam says she's not considered to be a relative midaraisa. He can still be mitami for her, but not alts relative, alts meis mitzvah. If that's the case, how will this carry over to Hilchas Avelus? Right. He's mutter midaraisa to do it, alts meis mitzvah. But according to the Rambam, she's not really a relative. Since she's not a relative, there's not going to be Avelus midaraisa for her. According to the Rambam, if a person's wife dies, so he has to be misabel, but that's not a midirabbanan. That's like a half brother or something. That's like an added on relative. With the raisa, there's no avelus. According to Taisus and the Rosh, it is a moot discussion. Again, they left the shiur a half hour ago because everything's only midirabbanan anyway. But according to the Rambam, that avelus yom rishon is deraisa. So the Rambam says that avelus for ishta was not deraisa because tumas, they had the tumas ishla is not deraisa. It's mutter based on meis mitzvah. It's a different parish. It's a different set of sukkim. It's not based on kravim. So in the terms of ilchus avelus, that heter doesn't spill over. Therefore, the chiyuv for avelus is not midiraisa for one's wife. Hopefully next week, if for whatever reason, not next week, the following week. So we have to talk about the other side of the story. Could we possibly defend the shita that avelus is deraisa, and even for a wife is deraisa, depending on how you read the word, she'eron, see what the other rishon would disagree with the Rambam hold on this time. Okay.
Anyone else want to be notified when we share, please leave your address or phone number on there.